Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
All right, listen up, boys. Y'all want to be good sheep herders and all, don't you? Two things you need to know. Number one, stay awake. And number two, you ask questions. You know, Benji, you don't have to ask questions now, all right? No, well, I mean, you can ask a question. I mean, you know, if something don't look right or, you know, if you got a strange feeling in your gut, then yeah, ask a question. For example, that night when all those angels visited, yeah, well, everyone else was asleep. Not me, I was awake, just like my daddy taught me. Darn right I'm bragging. That's what separates men from the boys, son. So like I said, I was sitting there by the campfire, wide awake, and I just got this flutter in my gut. Like, you know something's gonna happen, like something big's gonna happen, but you just don't know what it is, you know? I think that's it. You just don't know what you don't know. But I walk over that rise, and then bingo. I'm looking at the biggest, scariest angel I ever did see. Not that I ever saw one, you know. And you know what the first thing out of that angel's mouth was? Don't be afraid. Too late. And then that angel just got this nice look on his face. He said, I've got a message to tell you. And then the big old angel said, a baby got born tonight, and he's gonna save the world. And then a mess of them angels came around, and they were saying, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. That's what they just kept saying. And then they was gone. Well, I don't need to tell you that we don't get invitations like that, you know, being crusty old sheep herders and all. But we went to Bethlehem, and I met that mama and that baby boy. I think they were a little shocked to see us, but we told them about the angels and all. I think that tickled her pink. And then we all just kind of stood there, making sure everything was okay. Kind of like when a new lamb is born. About the time you figured out everything's gonna be fine, you just settle in and you just kind of take in the whole thing. That's what we were doing. But this was different. Because underneath that big bright star, we was watching the world-saving baby. And we got to brag on him a bit. And Benji, this old soul, it's been awake ever since.
The shepherds never got over what they experienced firsthand at the manger on that night that Jesus was born. What they witnessed has been celebrated throughout the centuries by people all around the world. In 1865, there was an Englishman. His name was William Chatterton Dix, and he penned the words to a poem entitled "The Manger Throne." And then a few years later, the first three stanzas of that poem got set to music. It was English traditional folk song music. The name of that song was called Greensleeves, and that soon became known as the beloved Christmas carol that we sang this morning, What Child Is This? And the combination of poetry and music first was published in the United Kingdom back in 1871. It was a new song when it debuted in the prestigious compilation of Christmas music that was called Christmas Carols Old and New, and that was one of the new ones back in 1871. And for close to a century and a half, the question that's found in that little title of that little Christmas carol really has become an annual reminder of something significant that happened on that night in Bethlehem, as someone significant lay wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And this child would change the world forever. But what child is this? The title of that Christmas carol, what child is this? That's really intended to be the primary question that the shepherds must have been asking themselves on the night that they actually visited baby Jesus after his birth and after their angelic encounter and receiving that startling news while they tended their sheep on the outskirts of Bethlehem. I mean, think about that. Their heads must have just been spinning at what they had just experienced, and spinning in rapid fashion. I mean, I can imagine that they just tried to comprehend and take all of that in that they experienced on that very first Christmas night. Luke's gospel records that scene. If you have your Bible, open it with me to Luke chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you there. Luke chapter 2 is going to be on page 857. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we finish this morning and dismiss. I'll make sure that you have a Bible to take home with you. So open your Bible to Luke 2 or turn on your Bible on your phone, and we'll look at 10 verses this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. And we'll begin reading in verse 8 about this scene that was portrayed in that video. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 18, it says this, And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And while they were filled with fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I'd love for my artists in the room to draw me a picture this morning of what they think those shepherds look like. Draw me a picture. Sketch me a portrait of what you think the shepherds look like that were out in the fields tending their flocks and that went to see Jesus on the night that he was born. And when you finish your rendering this morning, your picture this morning, be sure and display it out in the Home Life Center. I want to see what you think those shepherds look like 2,000 years ago. Anybody have their nativity scene out in their home? Yeah? Anybody start decorating? It's Christmas. This is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent means arrival. We celebrate the arrival of Jesus' birth, and we celebrate the second arrival. He said he's coming back again. He's going to arrive again. And in my office all year long, I keep this nativity scene out because I just never want to quit celebrating the incarnation. The incarnation means God came and wrapped skin around himself and walked among us. He moved into the neighborhood. So this is my nativity scene, Allison's nativity scene, our family's nativity scene. It sits in my office throughout the year, and then I bring it home during Advent, during Christmas. And this one right here, we actually got in Bethlehem. We met a little man named Shibley Candu. If you're wondering what you might want to name your kid someday, I would vote for Shibley Candu because it is an awesome name. And Shibley Candu sold this to us over in Bethlehem. It's made out of olive wood, and just reminds us of the place and the significance of what happened on that night that Jesus was born. And no nativity scene is fully complete without the shepherd's presence. And there's a little shepherd right there in the manger. He went to Bethlehem to see what had happened. Shepherd. The Christmas carol that we sang this morning mentions a shepherd. A shepherd. What child is this? He's a shepherd. You go, wait a minute, I thought the shepherd was the shepherd. But we're asking the question, what child is this? And he also would refer to himself as a shepherd. Jesus later described himself as the good shepherd. He told what a good shepherd does and who a good shepherd is. You don't have to turn there, but you might want to jot this down. John chapter 10, verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 11. Look what Jesus says. It's on the screen. Jesus, when he grew up, said these words, I am the good what? I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So this is a summary statement of what this child who was laid in the manger came to be for all people. He's the one who came to lay his life down for all of humanity, just as a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Think about that with me. There's no greater responsibility than holding and protecting and providing for someone else's life and well-being. Protecting the life of others and helping to provide for them. Those were the responsibilities. That's the calling of the shepherd. So what child is this that's in the manger? He's the one who would grow up and become the good shepherd. The protector, the one who's responsible for the lives of all who would be under his care, under his watch. This child would grow to be the good shepherd. Think about shepherds with me a little bit this morning. The imagery of the shepherd is very prominent in ancient Near Eastern history. Shepherds actually were equated at times with righteous government. It'd be nice to have some righteous government around here, wouldn't it? Yes. We need a few shepherds. Yes. Yes. Shepherds in ancient Near Eastern history were equated with righteous government and often appear in contexts where the subject of justice is really prominent. If you're for justice, you're for the shepherd. You're for the shepherd. Shepherds, those were the ones in biblical days that would be expected to show kindness in counseling and protecting and guiding those whom they were responsible through every difficulty that they may encounter. The shepherd actually has been associated as a metaphor for kings and even deity. The shepherd's staff, or it's often known as the shepherd's crook, has been viewed throughout the ages as a symbol of power and authority and strength. Did you know that throughout the Bible, Throughout the Bible, there are over 100 references to shepherds. 100 references to shepherds throughout the Bible. Do you know that the first two people that God created in the Bible, their names were Adam and Eve? Very good. You've read that part of the Bible. Good. Adam and Eve. Now, Adam and Eve, they weren't shepherds, but one of their kids was a shepherd. Do you remember the name of their first two sons, Cain and Abel? Very good. Some of you have been in Awana, haven't you? You've been studying all about that. You've been in Sunday school. Good stuff. Did you know that Abel was a shepherd? Abel was a shepherd. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 refers to Abel as a keeper of the sheep. Did you know this? Did you know that shepherds weren't just men? They also were women. A guy in Genesis named Laban, he had a couple of daughters. One of them was named Rachel, and Rachel would go on to marry a guy named Jacob. Do you know what she was doing the first time that Jacob ever laid eyes on Rachel? She was shepherding her father's sheep. Over in Genesis chapter 29, you can look it up. It's right there. You ever heard of a guy named Moses? Moses, a prominent Old Testament character, before Moses ever led God's people out of Egypt in a significant event called the Exodus. Some of you stopped in Genesis. Keep reading. Exodus gets really good too. Really, really good. And before Moses led God's people out of Egypt in an event called Exodus, God first prepared him out in the fields shepherding his father-in-law's sheep. Any of you work for your father-in-law? Mm-hmm. Moses did too. Moses did too. I'm telling you, all throughout the Bible, it's filled with examples of shepherds. From the first chapters in Genesis, and as we move on, we see both male and female. We see young, we see old, some well-known, some more obscure characters in the Bible, all who were shepherds. So why am I helping us think about some of the different shepherds that are mentioned in the Bible? Here's why. Because if we can begin to understand who the shepherds were in terms of how they are defined, how they are described in the Bible, well, then perhaps we can begin to gain a better and a more complete understanding of our Christmas question. What's the Christmas question? What child is this? Well, he's the shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, Jesus certainly is the most well-known shepherd identified in the New Testament, and perhaps the most well-known shepherd in the Old Testament is found in the family tree of Jesus, a guy named David, who also was known both as a shepherd and a king, just like Jesus would be known as a shepherd and king. Think about that. How cool is it? How cool is it that when David was anointed as the king of Israel by the prophet Samuel, he had to be called in from the fields where he was shepherding the sheep and the flocks of his father. Now, what's really cool to think about this with me. What's really cool to think about is that the actual place where David was keeping watch over his father's sheep as a young shepherd boy was near the very same fields where the shepherds that we read about in Luke's gospel were out watching their sheep. Same fields. I've been there. I've seen those fields. On the outskirts of Bethlehem. I've got it marked in my Bible, March 14th, 2015. I was seeing with my own eyes, Allison was seeing with her own eyes, where the incarnation was announced. The incarnation, God with skin, God with meat on its bones, God con carne. Ever eat chili con carne? Chili with, meat, yeah, meat. This God with meat on his bones. We don't just worship a piece of olive wood representing. We worship God in the flesh. His name is Jesus, the shepherd, the shepherd. So David's out tending his father's sheep in the fields near his hometown of Bethlehem. The city later would become known as the city of David. We read about that earlier in Luke chapter 2. And the night that Jesus was born, the shepherds, they're out in the fields. They're around Bethlehem. They're keeping watch over their flocks by night. When the angel of the Lord interrupted them and said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of what? David, Savior, who's Christ the Lord." Think about that. God the Father entrusted the shepherds with a huge responsibility of hearing the message of the Savior's birth before anyone else. Shepherds are ones who are entrusted with great responsibility. And David learned from a very early age what it meant to be a person of responsibility, who took great care of those who were under his watch. The principal duty of a shepherd was to make sure that the animals that were under his or her care had enough food and had enough water. David even wrote an incredible poem that's recorded and captured in Scripture. An incredible poem about his experiences as a shepherd, and even connected it with some of the most insightful characteristics of who God is. Maybe you've heard it before. It's known as the 23rd Psalm, and it starts out, "The Lord is my what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Say it with me. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." That sounds kind of peaceful, doesn't it? Yeah. Some of you are going, "Boy, I could use some peace in my life this Christmas, because I've been anywhere but green pastures and still waters. I've been in parched land and raging waters. I need a shepherd." The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. And just as the shepherd was responsible for the food and the water provisions of the sheep, protecting the flock also was a priority that continually must be provided. You see, sheep were easy prey, still are easy prey for wild animals, and the shepherd had to protect them from predators like wolves and lions and bears and longhorns. No, that's different, sorry. Aggies. Ooh. David continues in the 23rd Psalm to speak of this protection that he felt from the Lord as his shepherd. In Psalm 23, verse 4, you probably can recite it. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David is describing the attributes of the Lord that not only provides for his nourishment, but also protects him wherever he might find himself in life. You see, shepherds were responsible for providing for and protecting the ones under their care. And David was being protected, and David was being provided for by the Lord, his Lord. The Lord is David's shepherd, is what he writes. And these characteristics of the good shepherd, they help answer this question that the shepherds posed at the nativity. What child is this? He's the one who will provide and protect all who are under his care. That's who he is. The Bible teaches in Psalms that every single thing that we have in our lives ultimately is provided by the hand of God. James in the New Testament goes on to say that every single good and perfect gift is from God the Father in heaven. Everything you have. Think about it. When Jesus was born in the manger, that moment is known as the incarnation. God coming down from heaven to earth in the flesh. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus is the good shepherd who provides everything we need. Maybe not what we want. Everything we need in this life. It's all a gift from the hand of God, our good shepherd, our provider, our protector. And over and over and over again, as you read through the Bible, we read how God, how Jesus is our protector, how God is our defender, the one who fights for us, who keeps us shielded from the enemy who attacks us. Write this down. Write this down. I'm going to give you a song to listen to every day throughout the season of Advent. It will bless you. I've been listening to it every day. It's a song called Defender. Defender. The artist's name is Rita Springer. R-I-T-A Springer. S-P-R-I-N-G-E-R. Just Google that. Just listen to that. Just download that. Start your day listening to Defender, and it'll bless you. I shared it with the choir a couple of weeks ago. I shared it with Don Baker a couple of weeks ago. I mean, everybody that gets around me is going to hear Defender. If you got about 8 minutes, I'll pull it up on YouTube, man, and we'll both just be, oh, golly, that's awesome. Because it's awesome, and it reminds us what child this is. He's our defender. Cuts off the head of our enemy. Brings it back before we even knew he was gone. That song will bless you. And Jesus is our defender. He is our good shepherd. And when we seek to be followers of Jesus, one of the ways that that begins to manifest itself in our lives is we begin to demonstrate shepherd-like qualities. So think about this with me. Let's apply this a little bit. You have people in your life that you're responsible for. And if you do, you know what you are? You're not God, but you are a shepherd. You are a shepherd. You're shepherding others. If you're a dad, if you're a mom, if you're a teacher, if you're a coach, if you're a grandparent, if you're a guardian, if you're a boss, foster parent, and you've got kids, you've got grandkids, you've got employees. Maybe you're responsible for your parents right now. Maybe you've been responsible for a spouse that's been incapacitated. And you're responsible for and providing for and protecting them. You are like a shepherd. You're like a shepherd. You're more like Jesus than you may realize. If you're a big brother, if you're a big sister, you've got responsibilities to help shepherd your little brothers and little sisters. And when you do that, you'll be more like Jesus than you may realize. If you have people who report to you in the office, you're not just a boss, you're not just a supervisor, you are in a position to help shepherd them. It can mean providing things like encouragement, not just food and water. Providing encouragement when every other voice they hear is negative. It's tearing them down. It can mean taking the time to actually teach and correct when every other input they have is criticizing and demoralizing them. It can mean demonstrating a listening ear with compassion and grace when most of what they experience throughout the day is the production of the bottom line. I'm telling you, shepherding others is a big deal. And sometimes it just means being with someone when they're walking through their valley. Everybody takes a turn walking through the valley, by the way. Amen? Some of you are there. Some of you just walked out of it. Some of you are heading there. Everybody takes a turn walking through the valley. But what a privilege and what an honor and what a great responsibility it can be to walk or sit with someone when they're in the valley. And when you do that, you're shepherding them and you're more like Jesus than you may give yourself credit for. I know that there are several in our church right now who have been walking with and sitting with and shepherding family and friends through sickness and hospice care. You're shepherds, and you're more like Jesus than you may realize. You're not Jesus, but you're becoming like him. As you follow him, as you love your neighbor, as you bless the city, as you make disciples, you're living in community and you'll be living on mission. On mission. Think for a moment. Think for a moment about who God has allowed you to be in a position to possibly shepherd this Christmas season. Who's coming to town for you? I'm not talking about Santa. Who's coming to town that you might have an opportunity to walk with and to shepherd and to encourage and to nurture, to speak truth into? Who does God want you to provide for and help protect this Christmas? What does provision and protection look like from God's hand through your hand? It's not about pulling out of your 401k. It's about managing what God's blessed you with. Because it's not about 30 years in the workforce for you and pulling up your Protestant work ethic bootstraps and rat-holing it away. Although that's good, but it's from God. It's from God. So how are you going to manage what he's entrusted to you? Perhaps it is something like providing Christmas presents for a needy family or for someone who's down on their luck. Or perhaps it's providing words of protection and reminding others who are under your roof that you care for them, that you appreciate them, that you are in their corner, that you see them and have not forgotten them. Maybe this is the first Christmas when someone under your care or in close proximity to you, in your classroom, in your office cubicle, at the gym, someone that you know is experiencing their first Christmas without someone who's always been there. And maybe part of the word of shepherding that you have for them is just to acknowledge it and just remind them that you haven't forgotten. And that their loved one is not forgotten. Perhaps you're in a position to shepherd an influential decision to bless people with a bonus or with some time off or some type of extra encouragement. Here's the question for you this Christmas. You might want to jot this down or get your phone out and just take a picture of it. How might God want you to shepherd others under your care this Christmas? That's a weighty, weighty question. A weighty question. That's the question for a shepherd. And yet at the same time, having someone to shepherd you is equally important as being a shepherd to someone else. I mean, yes, as we read about, David was indeed a shepherd, but he was being shepherded in his life too. He's the one that wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." Let me ask you another question. Who's shepherding you in your life right now? Who's shepherding you in your life right now? Let me put some skin on that. Let me just wrap some reality around that. Think of it this way. Whose authority, teenager? Whose authority? Dad, mom, kid, grandparent? Whose authority? Millennial, boomer, Gen Xer? Whose authority are you submitting yourself under that will help you continue to grow and mature and become the kind of person God wants you to be before you step into His presence in eternity one day? Do you need a pastor? Maybe you've just kind of been visiting around. And that's good, and Dan sings the songs and leads us, and that's neat, and we applaud the baptisms, and man, I kind of go to the communion tables each week. But do you have a pastor? Or are you just kind of in proximity to one? I'd love to be your pastor. Our staff would love to pastor you. If you need help taking a next step so that someone is shepherding you, man, fill that little connect card out and just say, I'd like information about taking a next step and being a member at Arapahoe Road. We'll connect with you. We'll help you take that next step. I'd love that honor to pastor you. Do you have mentors in your life? Any teachers or coaches or a leader who's pouring into you on a consistent basis? We all need shepherds in our life. And part of the way that we're under the shepherding of the Lord is being under the leadership of those who are following the Lord. And the ones who are following the Lord Jesus, and they live their lives to become more and more like Him, those are the ones who are becoming more and more like the Good Shepherd. By the way, that's who Jesus is. That's who this child in the manger would grow to become and would grow to embody as a man. Jesus was and is and always will be a shepherd. He's the Good Shepherd. Remember, as we wrap up here, remember what Jesus said that a good shepherd does? We read His word earlier when He told us that His followers, here's what a good shepherd's going to do. Here's who a good shepherd is. It's in John 10:11. We read it earlier, and Jesus said these words, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He goes on to say to His friends, His followers, just a couple of chapters later in John 15:13, He says this, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's what the shepherd does for those he's responsible for, protecting and providing for. He's willing and will lay down his life, her life, for his, her friends, just as Jesus not only taught, but He also demonstrated. What a great question. What child is this? He's the one who came from heaven to earth to show us what a shepherd really does. He protects and He provides, and ultimately He was born in a manger to lay down His life on a cross. To every single person who would call Him Lord, He would be their Savior. Jesus was born for a rescue mission. That's what Christmas is about. It's the start of a rescue mission. And when Jesus completed the rescue mission as a good shepherd by laying down His life for the ones that He loved on the cross outside of Jerusalem, 3 decades after being born in a manger in Bethlehem, He restored, He empowered, and He entrusted, don't miss this, the shepherding responsibilities to one of His friends, one of His disciples, Peter, Simon Peter, on the shores of Galilee, where they first met 3 years earlier. The whole conversation between Peter and Jesus revolved around this ongoing role and responsibility of being and training others to be shepherds of the ones Jesus came to rescue and call His own. Last little verse of scripture I want you to see before we're dismissed. It's in John chapter 21. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, it's on page 907. John 21, it's on page 907. Look what Jesus and John and Peter talked about. This is so great. This is awesome. He's restoring someone who had let Jesus down not long ago. John 21, verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." That's shepherd language. "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I loved you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." That's shepherd language. "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." What child is this? He's the one who came to lay down his life. He's the one who came to provide for and to protect his flock. He's the one blessed beyond measure with ones that he would call his own and who would know his voice. He's the one who is the good shepherd. His name is Jesus. We first met him wrapped as a baby in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, just as the angel said. And friends, when you make that choice to become a follower of Jesus, a friend of Jesus, just as Simon Peter was, you're invited to step into the role of shepherding people, helping people, taking care of other people, providing, protecting others with truth and tangible ways of blessing. As George said earlier, man, that if you feel disconnected and like nobody's shepherding you, get connected with a life group. It will help you be shepherded and will give you opportunity and time to shepherd others. If you don't know where to start, go over to John and Vicki Parker's house today. They're great shepherds. Not perfect, but boy, they'll walk alongside you where you don't have to be alone. And in time, you too may be asked to lay down your life. Maybe that's what this Christmas is all about for you. Maybe you've been turning on 98.7 since before Thanksgiving, like me. Or 102.1. See, when it goes to the commercial, I can get on over to the other Christmas station, never miss a beat. And maybe you've been singing the songs, but you've missed the Savior. And today, Jesus is connecting with your heart. And maybe the prayer of your heart to begin this Advent, this Christmas season, is, "Jesus, I believe that you did lay down your life for me so that I can have life in you. I lay down my life, whatever that looks like, Lord. I lay down my life. I lay down my dreams. I lay down my wants, my desires. And as best I can, I give my life to you. I put my life in your hands. I want to be a follower of yours. I do believe that you were born and you lived a life that led to a death on a cross to forgive me of my sin. I know that my life separates me from you. I feel disconnected from you when I sin. But when I lay my life down before you, something peaceful happens. You're the good shepherd. You're the one who came to seek and save that which was lost, and that was me. And this lost one needs a good shepherd to find me and bring me back to provision and protection. Maybe your Christmas starts off like this. Here I am. Would you lead me? Here I am. Would you be my shepherd?
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.